So, this morning we're going to be in the book of James. James chapter 1, I'll start in verse 2. Oop, I got to turn that thing on. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Over the years we've looked at this one. This is not one we like to do, is it? I got another test. I didn't like tests in school. Thought tests were over. But yet, here they come. Trials. Count it all joy. But there's a reason. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Better word for patience when it's broke down is endurance. Does that sound familiar to anybody? We just did that. Just last week even. And I want to tell you how much this is God. I did not put that word in there until today. Because that's the definition in the Greek. As I've been praying over this message and been reading on it and asked the Holy Spirit to lead me through it. And then I was like, oh, Jesus, you're so good. You tied last week's into today. And the message I taught you last week, I taught in 2009. It was the same notes. But endurance, perseverance. So all that trial that you're going through is producing something in you. And you will only have to keep repeating it if you keep failing it. Oh, no, I don't believe it. I'm sorry, but if you fail your driver's test, what do you got to do? You got to go back to the DMV. So you study, you practice. How do you practice for trials in your life that are going to develop patience? You start with the small things that you know right off the bat that trip you up. You know, some people it might be getting behind a tractor going down the highway. So what? You got to slow down for a few minutes. Be patient. Wait for a safe place and go around. I remember a couple years ago, Bob got, he was on 314. The lady couldn't be patient. And I think, wasn't she on that little bridge right there? Yeah. Right in front of one of his fields, two of his fields. Well, she's in a new Cadillac and she clips the combine. Tries to blame it on him, but the trooper said, not so, lady. That's not how it works. Slow down. Hey, pray for that farmer. If you haven't prayed for your farmers this year, man, I'm going to tell you what, they are busy right now. They've been praying for some dry ground. But just like that, things like that. Or how about you're in the line at your favorite store, and they've only got one aisle open. I got places to be. Where you got to be? I got to go to the next door. How about just taking a deep breath and say, you know what? I'll get up there when I'm supposed to get up there. You know, we were talking about something the other day that if I had, I can't remember what it was, if I had done this, I would have missed this opportunity that set me off. I was in a store, and right next to it is a gym, and this big old muscle head came in, and the little girl that was there at the register, 7 months pregnant, and he comes in and says, there's a dog out there, windows are up on it, and I'm going to go bust the windows if you don't get the owners out here. Well, we don't know where, this is in a strip mall. Where's the car parked? Where are they at? There's five stores right through there. And he starts bullying around, and she's like, I don't know what to say. I do. And he grabs a thing, and he gets a little abusive on his language, and everything within me was, I need to say something. Holy Spirit was like, no, you don't. That's not your job. But I need to. I wanted to. I didn't really think too hard about it until I got going down the road. And as I got going down the road, yeah, the adrenaline and all the stress from that situation I took in. And it's just like, it ruined the next couple of hours of my day. But if I had done that other thing, I would have missed that whole thing. Just a couple minutes. Sometimes if we get too impatient, we realize I could have avoided something. You know, the Amy Grant song, "A Reckless Car Ran Out of Gas." But what if you had, I've got a deadline. Okay, listen, I get it. A couple minutes late, we've got ourselves so bent out of shape now that a couple minutes running behind, we're just frantic. Now, if you're consistently late, you're just inconsiderate. Yes, I said that. You've got to be on time. There's a generation now, if they show up to work, that's a problem today. I might show up for work, and if they're the best employee, the boss ain't going to fire them. Man, I came from a generation, if you were late, a good chance you were not going to have a job. But you have to start developing things. Patience. That doesn't have to happen right now. Isn't that what happens? Oh, I got to deal with this. No, you don't. You don't have to deal with that. But I do. No, you don't. We just had this conversation this morning. She's making the bed. Why are you making the bed right now? Because I have to. No, we don't. We got to get ready for church. I don't care if you see my bed unmade.
I was letting my moisturizer do its thing.
Yes, she was.
Sorry.
No, she had to get that. That was right. That's what she told me. She's like, I'm letting my moisturizer dry. But sometimes, and I do it myself, just one more thing. Just one more thing. I worked myself yesterday to where I was like, I don't have one more thing. I told her, I said, you'd have been proud of me when I went around picking up all the stuff. I had a 24-foot ladder, a 16-foot ladder, my double sink that I was using as a cooler, and all my tools on my tiny little trailer that is this long with my garden tractor, driving around the house on all those hills, trying to hope it doesn't fall. I made it, bless God. But the problem is, if I had to quit when I was starting to get tired instead of I'm exhausted and my brain is fried, one more thing. I was like, I got one more thing. See, that one more thing ended up costing me black silicone caulk in chest hair and arm hair. It's like, just one more thing became one more thing. Oh, I got to do this. Then I'm up on the roof. I'm like, oh, I forgot to screw that panel off. So there I am on the roof, hanging over the thing, stretching as far as I can. One more thing. Patience, though. Patience is developed by practice. You know what? I don't have to rip their heads off. Stuff happens. Flat tires happen, right? Sometimes you run out of gas, which remind me, we need gas in the truck. I pulled into a gas station the other day. It was $3.55. By the time I got to the pump, it was $3.65. I'm like, all I did was drove through the parking lot. But anyhow, patience. I got enough gas. I'll get gas over here. It's cheaper. So now, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know my stance on the word perfect. It's the wrong word. It does not mean perfect in what our minds mean. In our mind, the word perfect means without blemish. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. That's shalom. This word, though, means mature. Let patience have its maturing work in you, i.e. the time it takes to grow. And then to get to mature, complete and lacking nothing. I was thinking about this word, and even this morning as I was sitting there on my porch drinking my coffee, and I've got a mature black cherry tree right there. And I'm sitting there looking. I mean, it's probably a 2 foot diameter trunk, grows up 5 feet, has a there's a crotch split, and then there's another 4 feet, there's another one. So I got these three great big limbs off the top of that thing. And as you look up that tree, it's about 50 feet high at least. It's been there a few decades. But you look up in that tree, there's dead branches. There's a branch that grew across into one of the other splits. And praise God, it actually works out great because it grew into it. So instead of them pulling apart, they can't. They grew together, and it's another point of fastening. But as God watched that tree grow, it knew, he knew there was branches going to die. They no longer produced. See, Jesus taught us that when a branch doesn't produce, it's cut off and it's burned into fire. That tree has been mature for actually a long time. It doesn't just mean big. If you ask people today what a mature tree is, it's usually resulting in, for lumber purposes. Walnut tree's big enough. What is it, 18 inches in diameter or something like that? It has to be before they consider it mature for lumber. But let me tell you something. That tree has been producing walnuts since it was 6 inches in diameter. That's what the word mature means, is being able to be, to reproduce. Humans are actually closer to maturity physically right after the age of 12. We're not mature mentally at 12. For guys, that's knocking on their 30s. Women, I think you probably hit it at 14. But guys, no, we're still very immature. And as a matter of fact, the studies are saying that a male's brain is not mature until he's 25. I can tell you right now, 25 was a huge difference for me. It's like, wow, what was that ding-dong thinking? He was not exactly all that smart. Why did I do that? I don't know. But that's what maturity means. It has nothing to do with how much gray is in our hair, how tall we got. Are we able to reproduce? We are called Christians, and Jesus said, go and make disciples. So in other words, we have to be mature believers. We're not going to be mature believers if we don't experience the trials. And how do you keep growing in faith? Through these trials. So when you become mature, you're lacking nothing. That black cherry tree is about ready to break forth in all kinds of these little tiny annoying black cherries. I call them annoying because the birds love them. And when the birds love them, they like to hit the side of my house, my truck, everything else. But that tree can reproduce, even though it's got dead branches, which would, in our opinion, make it imperfect. But that's not, again, what the word is pointing at. Because I can tell you right now, I'm not perfect. I'm righteous as he is righteous. But I am mature that I can reproduce. That I can tell other people about Jesus. I can pray with them and lead them to Jesus. People think you got to go through 10 classes in order to be able to pray with somebody and lead them to Jesus. It's not that hard. A simple prayer. Lord, forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. Be my Savior. Ta-da! What if your faith is never questioned? There's a show called The Middle. Anybody else ever see it? There's times it's got Patricia Heaton and Neil Flynn. They're supposed to be in Indiana. But the oldest son questions whether he believes in God. And she just can't handle that. If your faith is never questioned, is your faith going to grow? Because you're not going to dig in and find out. Because his reply to everything was science, right? Science. I can prove it with science. Well, you can show how things work by science to a certain point. Well, this is what happens here. Okay, how'd the dirt get here? Well, dirt is a composition of this, this, and this, da, 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 da. Let me show you how you make it. No. You got to do it the way God did it. Started with nothing. You got to create a planet with nothing. See, that's faith. But I don't understand God. Well, you find me somebody who fully does, and I'm going to tell you right now, they are standing at the throne. Because we all have a little different view. I understand God through certain ways a whole lot better than I do others. I love beautiful songs and poems. I'm not gifted in that. I understand God through other ways, as a builder, even as a creator of things. But if you write songs, you write poems, you paint, you can express and understand God through that. Farmers can understand God through the whole planting process. Seed goes in the ground, it dies, it produces a harvest. But anyhow, a whole other subject. So, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The word wisdom here is practical wisdom, is what it means. Prudence, skill, comprehensive insight, the right application of knowledge. I personally call it the skillful use of current knowledge. If I understand things different than I did 20 years ago. And rightfully so, because if I personally did not grow, how can I expect you to grow? And if you aren't growing, now the problem's not all mine, because I don't live with you. I'm not at your house to say, go to the Lord. Don't be stupid. Ask God about that. But he said, ask for wisdom. Lord, what do I do about this? Sometimes the answer is so simple. You're like, well, of course, that's how we do it. I just put a new roof on part of my house. I've had a leak that I cannot find. I have coated that side and coated it and coated it. I'm like, I can't find it. And then one day I heard, just put a new roof over it. You've got the metal. I did. I had it all in the back. Everything I had it in the barn. I only had to buy a few pieces of trim. That was it. I got a new roof, which means inside my house isn't going to get water running down the wall anymore. But what it did was revealed that I had another problem. See, I thought it was just all one problem. There was another leak I did not know was leaking until I stopped that one. When I stopped that one, it showed me there was another problem. And the Holy Spirit showed me how to fix it. Practical use of current knowledge. Lord, how do I do this? How do I get from here to there? Well, here's how you do this. God gives us that wisdom in anticipation of our needing guidance, direction, and knowing. God tells us to ask for it. If you don't know where you're supposed to be going, what you're supposed to be doing, ask him. He will give you that wisdom. He will give you that direction that you need. That's the point of the Holy Spirit. I've told you for years, the point of the Holy Spirit is not to make you a spiritual goofball. It is to lead you into all truth, which is wisdom. He will show you things to come. Again, everybody thinks, well, I want to know what the world's going to happen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal to me certain things that are going to happen. I don't go out and say, thus saith the Lord, God showed me who's going to be the president. I tell a few people, and when it comes to pass, and no, I do not have any inklings, the Holy Spirit has not showed me anything. But the last couple times he has. Whether I liked it or not. But you know what it did? It helped me not to get bent out of shape. to know God's got this. God knows what he's doing. I just got to trust him. And if I can't trust him, who can I trust? So if we ask, he will give it liberally and without reproach. The hilarious part about this word reproach is we're talking about maturity. This word reproach originally meant juvenile, unmature, immature, I guess is the proper word. But then it became about the correction of the immature. If you're asking God for something that is beyond your capabilities right now, is he going to give it to you? I don't think so. Jesus told us a parable about, if your son asks you for an egg, are you going to give him a snake? No. He says you're going to give him good things. The Father's not going to give you something that you can't control because he knows it'll destroy you. But you give the right person a snake, he's going to make a pair of boots, a wallet, and a soup. That's all there is to that. But your child can't handle it. And hopefully the egg is already cooked. Or else you're going to be cooking your egg. God knows how to give us the good things. Things that aren't going to hurt us. I'm not going to give my kid, when they were little, I mean, 18 years old now, I'm not going to just hand them the firework lit. No, I'm going to show them how to properly light that firecracker. As having one who had one go off in my hand, and I mean a big rocket, make sure they got long wicks, because that hurts. I was 10. Nobody showed me how to what I should be doing and not. Some of my wisdom has come from the school of hard knocks. But God will give us that wisdom. The Holy Spirit is given to us for revealing that truth into things to come. So without reproach, it means God gives without reminding us of who we were or our failures. In other words, his grace. His grace is at work in our life. He's not going to give me something that's going to destroy me. I've shared before, years and years, I've always wanted a Mustang. My dad had a 66, and he always talked about it. So as I'm a child, that's all I ever thought. The very first car I ever drove was a 64 and a half Mustang. I felt like the king of the world, and I'm sitting on top of my daddy's Bible. And it was only that thick. And if you've ever been in one of them old Mustangs, they're not exactly all that big anyhow. But that's just how little I was. But boy, I felt like the king. And I always knew I wanted a Mustang. And every time I seemed to try to get one when I got a little older, God said no. No. And then something happened. One day, it fell in my lap. I got one. Woohoo! Boy, I just felt like the stuff. 97. Had air conditioning, cruise control, something that the old ones never had. But there's a problem with about any Mustang. Car seats don't fit in them very well. They're not exactly big or comfortable. If you like riding a roller skate, knock yourself out. They can be fun. But I realized what God had saved me from all those years, because one, I had matured even to the point where I didn't need to do stupid stuff. I was 33. 34. I'd wanted one since I was about 10. Had opportunities. And the one before that, God said, no, you will get in trouble. And it was a 92.50 with a 5-speed. And it was cherry red. And it was fast. Why? Because I was too mature, too immature at that time. But I was 24. I was 24. I'm mature. No, like I said before, our brains don't mature until we're about 25. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave by the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. If you ask God for that wisdom, he will give it to you. But don't doubt that he's going to give it to you. I asked God for a Mustang. Why wouldn't he ever give me a Mustang? Well, it only became at a point when I understood about being immature that I understood God had no problem with me having one. He needed me to grow up so that I could get to this point. It's kind of hard to grow up when you're in the ground. I had to mature. We have to grow up. Spiritually, we have to grow up to know that we're responsible for our walk. We're responsible for what we say and do, regardless of what took place in our lives. I am now responsible for what I say or do. There may be a propensity for why I wanted that alcohol. But in the end, I'm responsible for taking that drink. I'm responsible for driving that car fast or that motorcycle fast. Nobody was there twisting that throttle back but me. And let me tell you right now, 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle is a little scary. Especially when your helmet comes off. We are responsible. But God gives grace. As long as we're not prideful. Lord, I failed. It's okay, get up, do it again. You keep failing, get up, do it again. You don't get out of that test until you pass it. You don't get behind the driver's wheel until you pass. I personally have something against the state. I don't think anybody should have a driver's license without going through driver's ed. It's important. People, I'll just wait until I'm, what, past 18 now? Whatever it was, you don't have to take driver's ed anymore. You don't know anything. And you're the one driving down the road at 100 miles an hour? You should take a course. I'm all for CDL drivers taking a course. A guy's driving 80,000 pounds down the road? Now, there's guys that got that experience through other ways. But we've got enough Swift drivers on the road. If you're a CDL guy, you know the joke. They're the ones that usually drive over the parking curbs and cars and because they're not good drivers. I want people to have that education. Education is not a bad thing. Knowledge is not a bad thing. I heard a guy talk one time about he was carrying a load down 77. He was going down through West Virginia. He was going down a mountain. And he said he can look back and he's on his brakes. He's carrying a load that is over 26,000 pounds with a 3/4-ton Chevy pickup truck. He's in commercial ratings and his truck is not big enough. He said he had to pull, he was able to hit the brakes and get him to stop. He said his brakes were glowing. And the only thing he had to cool him down with was whatever he was drinking. Either way, that's not good. But the problem is he had been raised in a society that shuns cars and thought it was a good idea to overload his truck. Why? I don't care how old you are. Go get the education. It's not going to hurt you. Coming here, get you some education. So that when you go out and you're standing in that line, oh, rattle, rattle, quit grumbling about it. Just stand there. You might get to strike up a conversation with the person behind you who's having a very, very bad day. Maybe they just found out they have stage 4 cancer. Maybe their loved one just died. And you missed an opportunity to be able to pray for somebody. Because you were in too big of a hurry. Because, well, I got to get going down the road. No, you don't. Do you know God stopped the sun a full day so that Joshua could fight? The guy who stopped the universe from moving? Think about that for a second. The sun stood still. It's not because he stopped the sun, he stopped the universe. And since we now know gravity is a byproduct basically of inertia being pushed in, of the earth spinning, it meant the sun stayed still, we quit spinning. So everything on the earth, God had to put his hands around and hold in place on this planet. And even historians who do not believe in God can go back through time and they can do the math and all this stuff, and they say there's one day missing. There's one day we can't account for in our solar cycles. It's because that day did not happen. Because God stopped it. You don't think the God who can do that can make sure that you catch all the lights green? Can make sure that your lane is clear? Can make sure that the farmer who's about to pull out stops and says, you know what? I need to check this. And you got by. So now you're not getting your shorts in a knot. You're not making his day worse because you're calling him bad names. You're making sure that all of this stuff, God orchestrates it because you took the time and matured a little bit to listen to somebody. Say, I can pray for you. I'm not asking you to start revival services in the line at Kroger. But sometimes people just need to know, I'm going to pray for you. Having somebody in their corner means a whole lot, doesn't it? I can't always get to you, but you know, if you send me a message and I say, I'm praying, note that I just prayed. Yeah. Note that I'm praying. But if, you know, many times I've gotten calls, I need to pray right then. I need to go. I need to do something. That's part of my job. Let patience, endurance have its maturing work in you. That great big cherry tree didn't get that big without facing a few storms, losing a few branches. And there it is. It's been attacked by ants. It's been attacked by the wind and everything. And it's still standing. Speaking of that, let's stand. Know that everything you do in life is a step that will help you grow. Everything. Letting somebody go first. But I'm in the grocery store and they've only got one eye and I've been waiting. Well, you're not going to get out there any quicker. Just let that person go through. I do it all the time. And then occasionally somebody says, you know what, you got just a loaf of bread. Go ahead of me. It comes back around. Seed you sow is going to grow. Be kind. Be generous with that kindness as God is generous. And watch what he will do. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you that you speak to us, Lord God. And I pray now for all of us that you help us in this maturing process. Father, many of us, we are well capable of leading others to the Lord, but then there's areas that we're very immature in. And in that immaturity usually is selfishness. Help us, Father, to move on. Help us to grow, to understand that it's about growing. That we will all keep growing. And we will keep growing, and we will keep growing until we get it. Now, Father, I thank you that we're all taking this word to heart, and we're maturing. Help us to weather the storms. Father, help us to grow through the trials. And now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the blessing of being able to stand in this great country and to bless your people. Because men and women, for the last couple hundred years, Father, have laid down their lives. They've died in conflicts. They've died, Father, preserving our way of life, whether it was challenged on a foreign shore or it was challenged here. Lord God, bless America. May America turn its heart back to you. May there be such a revival, for Father, not just of patriotism, but Father, of your love, of your word, of strong faith growing in this country. And now, Father, I bless your people. I pray, Father, that as they go about to celebrations and to get-togethers with friends and family, that you bless those. Father, may your love be felt in all of their gatherings. In Jesus' name, amen.